B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
From the Inquirer, Inquirer.com, must read Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jeff, bless your heart. No, I mean, I'm serious. Listen, we want is like a legitimate answer, right? Like nobody, We understand it's football, right? So nobody's, you know, this isn't the future of the free world at stake. But, you know, I mean, we all watch it. We're not stupid. We all understand the sport, Jeff. They have put nothing in the linebacker.
I mean, the numbers were presented to Tim McManus, asked the question first, and the numbers were presented to him that they, in terms of salary cap allocation, the Eagles have devoted the least amount to the linebacker position. Okay. So why not just say, yeah, for us, it's a position that isn't as important as D line. We've talked about how important the D line is, and the linebacker position, in light of the way the NFL has become much more often pass happy, we find that it's more necessary to have, you know, nickel and dime and cornerbacks that we pay and to have pass rushers. Just give us that answer and then move on. But he tries to have it both ways. He says, oh, well, no, we have actually devoted, we do value every position the same, and we have allocated significant money, you know, resources to the linebacker position. We gave Nigel Bradham a contract extension. We drafted two linebackers this year, and then he just left it at that. And then, I had to follow up and just be like, well, Jim, I mean, that first of all, the Bradham contract, which wasn't really that much. It sounded big, but there wasn't much guaranteed to Nigel.
Right.
That's all he ended up getting.
That was
two years of that.
Right.
Which is honestly, that was fine. I mean, I understood that. I do understand that the linebacker position is the one you're going to go lightest at in Jim's scheme. I completely understand that. But, you know, don't say that and then look at what's on the product that's on the field right now, and then also mention that, yeah, we devoted two draft picks to the linebacker position. Well, Jim, none of them are playing on defense this year. So, right. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, I have nothing to do with that. That's Howie and Doug, which is not true either. I mean, Jim has, and I've written about this, reported about this plenty of times. Jim has great sway and authority over his unit in terms of obviously scheme, but also in terms of personnel. Now, he can, you know, get into the semantics game and just say, well, Howie does have the final say, but Howie is greatly influenced, and this is from team and organizational sources, league sources. Howie is greatly influenced by Jim. Now, look, you'd want him to get players that are catered to Jim's scheme, but Jim, it's to the point where if Jim doesn't like a guy, and maybe Howie does like him, and I reported last year about Chris Long, they wanted to bring him back, and Howie was all set to bring him back after the Malik Jackson injury. And Jim just kind of ixnayed that and made it, and basically told Chris that his role was not going to be great. And he basically forced Chris not to come back. So there's other examples of it too. Jim has great say in personnel. And for him to pass the buck there is just quite frankly false.
Wow. All right. So let me ask you a question. Where's Doug in all this? Doug's the head coach.
Yeah. Like, you mean in terms of
if I go, hey, I want Chris Long here.
Yeah. Well, Doug wanted him back. Doug was also on board with that, too.
Well, then how do you let Schwartz dictate otherwise?
They think they have a head coach on the defensive side of the ball. And they give him that type of authority. Now, look, understandably so in some respects. Jim had previously been a head coach. Jim is, you know, an accomplished defensive coordinator. I think, you know, they want Doug to handle the offense and Jim to handle the defense. And that's, you know, where it goes. I mean, look, when Doug was hired for the job, you know, he didn't really have a good list of assistance that he wanted to bring in, and they had to kind of go out and get their own guys, and Howie was the one who spearheaded the Jim Schwartz hiring, and then Doug met him and then signed off on it, etc. But it's Howie's hire, and so that has to be placed into perspective in the context when you are talking about where Doug stands on Jim Schwartz.
Well, all right. You know, I'm not going to mention that Spags was available, but that's all right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not going to mention that, but
I mean, because that's the kind of scheme that they want, you know. I mean, that's and now Jim's is certainly similar to Spags's in terms of, you know, 4-3, the aggressiveness of it. Although Spags blitzes a lot more.
You think? It's not even close. Mr. Stick said to back it up's not in their lexicon, which I found interesting.
Well, I don't know. Then why was Nickell Robey Coleman telling him to back up?
I mean, it's unbelievable. So, all right, so let's get back to the play, all right? Because there's two things I want to cover. And we're talking to Jeff McClain, Inquirer.com. All right, how in the world do you let the play go off and not call timeout? I see it every Sunday 10 times. When a guy doesn't like a play call, an alignment, you call timeout. A, if Doug saw it and said, no, I want to save the timeout, that's egregious. Schwartz didn't see it and defends the call. McLeod sees it, says he sees it, but doesn't go help. What makes sense of that?
Well, and plus, you know, I kind of rewatched it a bunch of times, but so there was about 10 seconds between Ben starting to look at the coverage and then him telling the defense, you know, telling the offense the new play and him and the snap. So that's 10 seconds is, you know, and clearly guys are recognizing it out there.
Yes.
I would hope that Jim and Doug are recognizing that.
I saw it on TV, where the weakness was all game. I will give you a screenshot that I saved off a text message that I sent that Claypool, this is before the game, was going to be an issue for them because of their linebackers and safeties. All right? I'm some idiot watching the game on my couch. And I could tell you that Claypool was going to be an issue. And I didn't even think he would score 4, should have been 5 touchdowns. What, are you kidding me? How could you not? Your safeties are bad. All right, listen, McLeod's fine.
I think McLeod's been playing pretty well the last two. At
right.
This game,
the
other guys are just, they're just guys just out there.
I mean, come on. I mean, How could you not see this?
Ben knew it too. Ben knew it too. He said after the game, he's like, I told Claypool, this is going to be the game where you break out. You know, like, based upon his film study of the Eagles. They knew it. And they just attacked them relessly. And teams have been doing that.
But again, if everybody can see it, how can they not see it? And then once Claypool is having a game.
Yep.
Okay, here's what I'm pulling my hair out here. All right, if Claypool didn't score, catch 2 other touchdowns and would have been a third, if he didn't do that, all right, well, you know, how come there's no timeout?
Yeah, no, I mean, you can certainly criticize them for that. I mean, Jim pointed out today that, you know, we saw how important timeouts are when they had to burn one when John Hightower didn't get out of bounds, but that was the last one. I said, you know, they had more timeouts at the time of the 3rd and 8 play, so it wasn't like they were down to their last timeout. That was the play. I mean, that was the big play. If they were to have any shot, because you're talking about 1 score versus 2 scores, and they got burned.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's not even...
With a linebacker covering...
Exactly. I mean, it's idiotic. I mean, it really is idiotic. Like, you can't sit there and tell me about timeouts when that player has killed you all game long.
Well, here's the other thing, too. It's, you know, you have the ability to check to another play. Now, Jim mentioned, you know, there's 15 seconds. So the communication over the headset between Jim and Nate Gary cuts out when there's 15 seconds left on the play clock. But, you know, players have the ability to change plays. We've seen them do it before. Obviously, famously, they changed their coverage on that pass to Julio Jones in the NFC divisional game in 2017. Roddy and both Malcolm recognized the play that was coming. You know, again, you just don't have guys out there that are...
They miss Malcolm Jenkins. Malcolm Jenkins bad.
You miss Malcolm, yeah. And look, I understand Malcolm... Maybe it was time to let Malcolm go, and he hasn't exactly been killing it in New Orleans either. But you didn't replace him with anybody that has those types of X's and O's, at the X's and O's acumen of Jenkins. And especially to do it when you're putting a neophyte play caller like Nate Gary out there. I mean, if you had Jordan Hicks out there at linebacker or someone else, exactly. You went and got a linebacker that could actually be, you know, your legitimate middle Mike, and I know he doesn't play middle, but your play calling linebacker, then you'd be okay with letting Malcolm go. Because Malcolm was kind of like the middle linebacker out there just in terms of getting the defense set, getting guys set, recognizing what an offense is doing pre-snap, and they just don't have anybody. I think Ronnie's a smart guy, and Ronnie can sort of be that guy, and he has to some extent, but we're talking about an A student versus probably, you know, B-minus student.
So, let me ask you a question, and we're talking to Jeff McClain, Inquirer.com. Travis Fogle, who, I mean, the kid looks legit to me. I'm watching the way he runs his routes. I'm watching the way he explodes, his hands. He's legitimate. So my question is, what the hell are they watching in practice that it takes till now to see him?
Well, what that's about is they've made all these other moves and all these other moves and draft picks with guys that have to play ahead of them. And those of
JJ Arcega Whiteside?
So second round draft pick, you got to put him out there. Deshaun Jackson, you invested in him, you got to put him out there. Jalen Reagor, now look, I'm not saying all these guys are good or bad or whatever, but that's what happens when you may miss the boat a little bit on a guy like Travis Fulgham. Now, look, Fulgham looks good. He made some really nice catches. A lot of them were zone beaters, and he did a good job running the routes. So, you know, I want to see a little more. You know, I would like to see him against the man defense, see how he does in that regard. But I, you know, certainly compared to what else they've had out there or what else they've put out there, he's already had in that one game more catches than JJ or Arcega Whiteside had all of last year, which is an indictment of, again, the front office. I mean, what they've done at that position is egregious. I think the biggest crime is the money that they've devoted to Alshon Jeffrey and Deshaun Jackson have gotten pretty much not much out of either of them since they've gotten those big contracts. And then that's in turn forced them to pass on, potentially trading for DeAndre Hopkins or Stephon Diggs or going to sign Robbie Anderson. These are three guys who are killing it so far in the NFL. And then you go to the draft, and that's, you know, almost a bigger indictment of the evaluation process, because you had the JJ mistake. And then while I think Jalen Reagor has talent and may potentially be good, and you got to sit back and wait, you know, give the kid time, he's hurt. And meanwhile, all the other receivers, a lot of the receivers that were drafted after him, or, you know, CeeDee Lamb, a guy that they potentially could have traded up for, they're killing it. These are guys that are going to be 1,000-yard receivers.
What makes it worse is that everybody knew it. Like, we all see, here's the problem that they have, is that people in this town, it's good and bad. The good is they love it, right? The bad is...
Sorry, you cut out me on the good. What's the good?
The good is the people here love football. They love it. They love it. And the bad is they love it. So the draft, leading up to the draft, there's like fan consensus, right? And it's real. Like, people actually, you know, listen, I do my thing every, you know, I actually, the loser that I am, watch my tape, and I make all the guys. And the track record of the public is better than the track record of the team. And it's actually, you could go back and it's documented. Like, DK Metcalf wasn't a mystery. You know what I'm saying? And it drives people crazy.
Yep, wow. But you know what happened there, right? I mean, the owner
wanted. What's that?
The reason why DK was ranked higher than I think he was their number one or two receiver on, especially one of the primary evaluators. What happened was that the medical staff red flagged him because of his neck injury, et cetera, or whatever it was, and they dropped him into like more of a third or fourth round grade. Now, the Ortega Whiteside pick is another one. Basically, you had
makes it worse.
You had the owner influencing that, right?
That makes it even worse. They hear about the medical staff. Oh, because that's been so good. Good over the years, too. I mean, guys, like, what are we doing here? And here's the thing. So I'm going to ask you a question because Andrew asked me this question, and I go, I don't think so. Is Doug being told who to play? Because I never heard of a coach who would stand for that.
Well, in what respects?
Well,
like who?
And wide receiver, when it comes to, say, the wideouts. Andrew,
right.
Who was the guy? What did you say again?
Well, I mentioned Matt Collins last year because they didn't want to admit that they missed on another fourth-round pick.
I brought up Ward last year going, I mean, I liked what I seen in him. Why didn't he get a chance until the end?
Know. I know for a fact Howie, for instance, is a voice. I don't know how much Doug listens to it, but is a voice in Actus. Yeah, he's part of that process. I mean, Howie factors into those decisions that are made in terms of now Doug ultimately makes the decision and et cetera, blah, blah, blah. But the GM...
Doesn't he need to go, Leo, dude, listen, do you see this kid in practice? This kid's a player. I mean, I want so badly because I like everybody involved. Like I do, I like them all. I was talking about it earlier. Doug's a great guy, but what? Like, but I my confidence in this group is not high.
They won a Super Bowl. I do want to point that out.
I mean, I'm tired of hearing about the Super Bowl. I'll be honest with you.
There has been regression with each year.
I'm thankful. Yeah, all right, thank you. But, like, things happen. And, you know, teams win. And, you know, Brian Billick won a Super Bowl. And look what happened to him.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, that's the fear. That's what you have to be concerned about with this group.
Yeah. All right. Well, what do you think about Sunday?
It's obviously as bad as some of those plays were and some of those decisions were. I thought the team had every right to win that one and had their chances. We saw the offense was moving the ball against a really good defensive team and especially one of the best defensive fronts in the league with a lot of guys beat up out front. Carson, I think, made another step forward. And getting back to what we expect out of him, obviously we mentioned the Travis Fulgham thing. They should be getting some guys back here or there. I'm not sure how much that's going to help in some respects. But
I want to see Fulgham, Rager, and Ward. That's my three.
They're going to play Deshaun and Nelson when they're ready. But
yeah, that's not smart.
Yeah,
I don't know what you see. If you have anything in Fulgham, if he is for real, he's got to play. You worry about Alshon Jeffrey? Crazy? You know, another bad contract you signed. See, this is my fear. Who's running things? Who's running things, man? That's bad. All right, brother. I appreciate it, man. You're the best.
All right, talk to
thank you.
Soon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.